on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. Of course, there's a certain peace that comes with the rain, but not the peace until we're all here and safely. But let's pass that peace that comes from God with one another as we greet each other this morning. Mike. Peace. Joyous concerns. Do you want to say anything or about Olive?
Yeah, Olive is not doing so good. He said he was to see her Tuesday, and I thought it was Tuesday night when they called me. I think it was Tuesday night. Anyway, got a phone call 1:30 from Harmony River. She's throwing up, not feeling good, but they said they could handle it there, so that's fine. Then they called a half hour later and said, she's really getting worse, take her to the ER. So then they took her to the ER, and then they called, she had a brain bleed. And they had no room in the ICU and hutch, so they had to haul her to Methodist. So me and the pickup, 3:00 in the morning, go down to Methodist, and they just got her, she just got in there. So then went back in the afternoon with Jody, and it had stopped, and I was there yesterday again, and she's really mixed up. She talked, when they get talked about three people in the room, and she kept talking about Jeff, and I'm thinking, who's Jeff? Well, you know Jeff. And I don't know. Anyway, it was. And then, of course, he asked the nurses, she's doing good, she's doing good. And I'm thinking, boy, if this is good, But again, you never talk to a nurse or a doctor. You can't ever find a doctor anywhere. But they're going to bring her back to Harmony River tomorrow and put her in a transitional room. And then I don't know what will happen from there. I don't think she'll ever go back to the memory care. And she's not eating. Her arms are like this big around. So she's not, if she can't swallow or, but they had a little bit of apple sauce there and just a couple spoons out of that,
of course, she's a light eater anyway.
She's like a sparrow anyway, so she never does eat very much. My grandson John is down there now, or he'll be there later, and he's gonna let me know what he thinks.
Okay, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Olive, do you want to talk about your brother, Pete?
Well, he fell off the pickup, and he broke three bones in his pelvis, and he'll have surgery tomorrow, hopefully.
That's Pete Ackerman.
My brother.
Yeah. One among five, I think you said?
Yeah. One among 11.
And kids.
One among five brothers.
Yeah. Well, we hope that surgery goes well for him.
Yeah.
Has he ever had back surgery or?
No.
Yeah. And he's where then?
He's at CentraCare in St. Cloud.
Oh, CentraCare, yeah. I was just there Friday. Not CentraCare, but the VA up in that territory, yeah. Other joys? Concerns or joys? Somebody's grumbling.
Yeah.
Or having an upset stomach or something.
Talking to
you. You said something, Louis? I thought I saw your hand go up. No.
Okay,
got to be careful with those hands. John, you look like you're ready to speak again. No.
Let's be thankful for the rain.
So yes.
So that's all.
Amen. Yeah. Of course, I suppose you know about the earthquake in Venezuela. Last I heard, 1,400 people been killed, and they're looking for another, how many thousand? 68,000 people yet? Wow. And we think we have troubles with, oh, I can't go out, it's raining. Glennis asked me if I wanted an umbrella to walk from the car here. No, I don't think so. A big event happening, at least in Hutchinson this afternoon. My previous church is a fellow by the name of Mark Charles, and he's a professor, part Dine or Apache, and part white, mixed blood. He talks about the doctrine of discovery, which, put in a few words, is if you think you've discovered it, it's yours. Which was something the Pope said about 500-600 years ago. He put out a bull. A ship started going all over the world and claiming territory without realizing that there were people that lived there. Not savages, but people. So it's kind of centered around that. And he'll be speaking at the... Well, this morning he's part of the worship at New Journey, and then this afternoon there's an event at the event center after a free lunch of, for lack of a better term, Native American food. Other joys, concerns? And everything up to date on the prayer. You know, I forget to thank you for all the work you do with that, of keeping people posted and who to pray for, and that's really helpful. Thank you. Well, let's go on ahead, shall we? I think Peg was going to read this morning, but she's not here. They're probably trying to fight off the... They went camping this weekend. No one's listed to read. Does anyone want to read? Well, I got a Bible up there. I can read the scripture. Or were you thinking of it, Lloyd? There we go. Okay. Okay. While he's coming up, let's do our prayer of invocation, and then we'll sing a hymn, and then our readings. Proclamation of praise. Let's say it. Early in the morning, our thoughts turn toward God. We have been led to this mountain of worship. We come, trusting in God's steadfast love. We gather, seeking the way of salvation and peace. God has made an everlasting covenant with us. Let us proclaim God's faithfulness to all generations. Sometimes we think that God has forgotten us. Often we do not understand what God expects of us. But God deals bountifully with us, inasmuch that we take for granted. God shows us the value of life and helps us to celebrate it. We bring our sorrow and pain to this healing time. May God provide what we need to grow in Christ. We pray together to say, have you forgotten us, God? Will you remain hidden from us forever? We speak of you, but we do not know you. We often distress those who speak glibly of your intervention in their lives. We marvel at the amazing variety of life on this planet. All that we see with our eyes is but a small hint of all that is revealed through microscopes and telescopes, other words of form and beauty so amazing beyond any telling. Yet our spiritual ancestors have known you not only as creator of all things, but as one who knows and loves each one of us. Help us to know you are here today. Amen. I guess we'll sing first to Lloyd. 674, as the hymn says, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers other loves to bring? Who will leave us world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who o'er him will go? By thy call of mercy, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are thine. Not for weight or glory, not for crown and palm, enter we the army, raise the warrior's song. But for love that claimeth lives for whom he died, he whom Jesus loves must be on his side. By thy love constraining, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are thine. Jesus, thou hast bought us, not with gold or gem, but with thine own life blood for thy diadem. With thy blessing failing, he who comes to thee, thou hast made us Romans, me made us free. By thy grand redemption, by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are thine. Fierce must be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overflow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure, for his truth is changing, makes the triumph. Joyfully enlisting by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side, Savior, we are thine. A good thing to remember, of course. Hopefully, we're on the Lord's side. But Scripture tells us that indeed God is with us always, although sometimes we don't feel it so much, so we pray prayers of confession together, like the one listed there, to say, free us, O God, from such absorption in our own concerns that we forget your loving intention for us. We find it hard to view what is happening around us through any eyes but our own. We obey our own passions rather than joining your intention for the good of all. It is hard for us, who so value our autonomy, to speak of obedience. We are ashamed of things we have done and things we have failed to do. We want to claim your free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. We sense that you intend for us to accept and live within that gift here and now. Help us, loving God. Amen. And know that God is always willing to pardon us and say, hang in there. Keep going. Keep trying. Keep living, having faith in my graceful, ever-flowing love. God welcomes us, and a lot of it's based on the story found in Matthew here. Lloyd, are you ready now? It's 10, 26 through 42.
So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of those least little in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward.
Thank you, Lloyd. The welcome table. I think it's been several years, at least 50 or 60 years, when I remember churches started having what they called a welcome table. And what it was, and I think still is a meal or a breakfast, some kind of feed that churches would put on, and anyone's welcome to come. It's free. You can donate if you want. But it was called the welcome table, a place for people from various places to come from, various nationalities, skin color. Didn't matter if you were rich or poor, just come and eat together. Good thing, by and large. Sure, there's flaws in any kind of intention we have, but by and large, it was a good thing. And I thought of that when I thought about this topic this Sunday, the welcome table. The Greek word for welcome, four times in the reading that Lloyd just did, is dekomai, which means to accept, to receive, recept, and receive. Welcome. We give someone and they say thank you, and many times it's good English and good policy to say in response to that, you're welcome. But honestly said and felt, you're welcome is more than two words or three, however you see it. And it's said in different ways, above doorposts, entrances, welcome mats, banners put out, all are welcome here. It's more than a mat or a sign. Most importantly, an attitude. A word and an action that hopefully leads to another important word that grows out of being welcome is hospitality. Hospitality. Interesting, isn't it, that hospitals are named and called hospitals? Places of hospitality where you can get care. And I didn't want to look it up, but the word hospital, does it have two L's at the end or one? I didn't look it up because I want to think there's two L's at the end of hospital. Because if you get the first part, hospit, and then the last three letters, if you'll pardon me, A-L-L, hospital, all. Hospitable to all. Welcome all. Even having unexpected guests sometimes, do we extend our welcome? Last January, it was dark yet in the airport in St. Cloud. We were waiting to board the flight, a night flight, to Apache Junction. Actually, it landed, scheduled to land at Jackson Hole, as some people call it, Jackson Hole. And so we got there early and sat for a couple hours before it was time to board. And then, you probably heard this voice, this is your captain speaking. My partner is not feeling well. I'm the only one that could fly this plane, but I'm not allowed to. So this flight has been postponed until tomorrow morning. Now, we'd just been dropped off by our daughter, Glennis and I, and she had already in Hutchinson. So Glennis and I said, what are we going to do? Sleep here all night? And then she remembered that she had and still has a cousin, a retired attorney now that lives in St. Cloud with his wife, Janine. So Glennis called Chuck. They called him. They grew up together and played together, especially out at the Battle Lake, West Battle Lake. Still in contact, but yet we didn't get to see him much. But she called Chuck, and oh, this must have been like 9:30 then. And he said, sure, I'll come and get you. You can stay here tonight. I didn't know it was still 20 miles to go from the airport where they lived. But he seemed happy to do it, picked us up, and when we got to their place 10-20 minutes later, it was like coming home almost. Clean house. We had a little snack gathered around the table and fresh linen was ready in the bed, clean bathroom. Slept well, And then they took us to the airport in the morning. Hospitality. So important. I tried to say thank you many times to Chuck for that. We've seen each other a couple times since then. I've always said thank you. And he says, of course, you're welcome. But you don't think you can ever thank someone enough for things like that. I've told you this story before, I think. I know I told it someplace, but it's about the bag lady. The bag lady, B-A-G. Well, once upon a time, I guess this is a true story. I heard it from one of our clergy get-togethers. The pastor was telling about a pastor he knew who dressed up as a bag lady on Sunday morning, rumpled, slightly dirty clothing, coat, scarf that, of course, wasn't, kind of held her hair in place, and had sort of a bonnet around her, and walked into this church. Don't even remember where it was, but she sat right in the front row, and which, of course, you don't do really in church, unless you have a kind of important thing to say or do. And people would come in, and they'd look, and say, who's that sitting there in that front pew? I don't know, I never seen her before. And, oh, is she all right? Did she come off the street? Is she homeless? You know, you think all these things, naturally. Well, I got time for church to start, to ring the bell. Nobody'd seen the pastor. But apparently, they were going to be on time, so the bell rang. The bag lady got up, turned around, took off her wig and her scarf and her coat, and it was Pastor so-and-so. To make a point, now sometimes we don't recognize the least of these, so to speak. Jesus makes an appeal here in this scripture to the least of these. The children he calls his disciples, who are probably going out for the first time to take the word of God to the prophets, to the righteous, to the givers of cups of water, to the ones that have, but maybe they hadn't heard the word about God's love for all. And you know, when we hear what Lloyd read, and many times I've struggled with this text, what did Jesus mean when he said, I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword? He didn't mean literally a sword that you cut off people's necks with. He meant the sword, the word of God. And he, in effect, was saying, you shouldn't, I'm not telling you to hate your mother, father, sister, brother, but this word of God's love for all could cause some division, and probably will, and still does yet today. Throughout the ages, we've fought over that love of God for friend and foe, that nonviolent love for friend and foe. Ocean, love them, you know. No, that doesn't. If they're threatening you, you got to put up a defense. You got to have some missiles and what do they call them now? Drones that fly around and drop bombs. And I don't want to go there. But you go out and don't lose heart, because you'll be welcomed. You will be welcomed, and they will say thank you. And you can say you are welcomed. Jesus has been misunderstood in this scripture, and he's also been misunderstood in things like, oh, Jesus, he doesn't care for all people. He just said he'd come for the Jews, which of course he did say that. He had come for the Jews to begin with. But, well, let me read this. You probably know what I'm going to read. It's from Matthew 28. That love grew throughout his ministry and throughout his short time here on earth, to at the end, in his commissioning speech in Matthew 28, it says this: Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." I remember I had a professor in seminary. He took objection to that particular translation. He said, "Yes, Jesus," that's, he said, "go, but really it meant as you go." In other words, as you go about your everyday life, minding your own business, so to speak, this word is going to be spread. People notice that. People in the early church, others did. The people of the way, as they called them, they noticed that they were different, that they were full of love and care for them as well. The thing to forget, not to forget, is that hospitality, that welcome starts at home many times, of course, the natural place. And I don't know if you talked to somebody who already read the pastor's column in the newsletter, and I asked that person if I could use the bowl he made beautifully. Beautifully. It's just fun just to even hold it. And I said, "Could I use this morning to read this story once again in the full version? It takes 2 minutes and 20 seconds." And I remember doing this, maybe 10, 11 years ago. It's based on a German folktale on the fourth commandment, but how children are to love their parents, respect and care for older people. Here's the story. There once was a couple who lived with their only son, Konrad, or Conrad as you would say, in a modest house at the edge of a great forest. Though they were not rich, they lived a comfortable and happy life together. Now one day the man's father came to make his home with the young couple. The old grandfather's eyes had grown dim, his ears were nearly deaf, and his hands shook like leaves in the wind. When he ate, he was unable to hold his spoon without spilling food on the tablecloth and the floor. Often bits of food would run out of his mouth, soiling his clothing. For months, the young couple discussed the irritating behavior of the old man. Finally, they set a table for him to eat in a corner of the kitchen. As he ate, he looked sadly at his family. When he spilt his food, he would sob. Finally, one day, the old man's trembling hands could no longer hold the glass bowl, and it fell to the floor, breaking into 1,000 pieces. The woman scolded him and immediately went to the market where she purchased a wooden bowl for the grandfather. As the days passed, the old man said very little as he sat in his corner eating out of his wooden bowl. Now late in the fall, the father came home from a long day's work to find Conrad, the son, sitting in the middle of the floor, carving a block of wood. "What are you making?" my young man asked the father. "It's a present for you and mommy," answered the child. "I am carving two wooden bowls so that you will have something to eat from when you live with me in your old age." The husband and wife looked at each other for a long time, and finally they began to weep. And that evening, they moved the old grandfather back to the family table. And from that day on, he always ate with them, and they said nothing, even when he spilled his food. You know, I was thinking too, if he'd had a bowl like this, he probably wouldn't have spilled anything. Thank you for letting me use that, because, you know, it's almost unspillable. But of course, the point of the story is, sure, it gets hard to care for older people, especially, well, Glennis is always after me because I've usually got something on my shirt that I slobbered on. But we have excellent care in what we call living centers or nursing homes or whatever, just wherever I go, and these just wonderful places. And people visit there. So it's not a slam on anyone or anything, but just a reminder that we're here to welcome one another. And as they say thank you, immediately to say you're welcome. Glennis and I were sitting at a concert last week. Was the Hutchinson Water Carnival, they call it, although there's really no carnival with rides and all that, and they have a boat parade. But there's a concert that ends the days. It's a Saturday night, Friday or Saturday night, I think, and we were sitting there watching and listening to the band, live band on stage, and all of a sudden we noticed, or I know I did, and I think she noticed at the same time, there was a young boy, maybe 8, 9 years old, standing right on the, not on the stage, but there was a big tree right beside the stage, and he was just standing there, looking straight out. He looked kind of sad. Not the kind of thing you see at a concert, you know, where kids are running around having a good time with everyone, and eating, drinking, having fun, laughing, you know the scene. But here he was, just still, he stood there with his hands. And I thought to myself, because I had just finished a little bag of chips or something, and I said, I wonder if he's hungry. And then about 2 minutes later, Glennis called attention to the boy standing there. And she said, without me saying he looks hungry, she said, "I'll bet he looks hungry." I bet he is hungry. He looks hungry. And I had wanted to just go up and give him a couple bucks, you know, he could buy something. But then I thought, well, she thinks maybe she'll go up there, because who could say no to Glennis? She's so friendly, and she gives that big smile of hers, and I wouldn't have very good luck. So I gave her actually $3, and then she took that up and said to him, "Would you like to get something to eat?" He's still standing there. And I wish I could say this story had a good ending. But he didn't say anything. He just walked off. And now we will always remember that walking off. What happened to him? What was his problem? Did he have a problem? We don't know. All we know is the importance of being a welcome table to others. There's a song. Of course, you probably would have known that. I'd pull the guitar out. It's a spiritual, a black spiritual. Of course, they're always old spirituals, aren't they? I mean, you would never say, here's the latest spiritual being written on your hit parade. But I've loved playing it this week. It's called, I'm Gonna Sit at the Welcome Table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. And when the black folks, especially the slaves, when they said I, they really meant we, all of us. It goes like this. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna sit at the welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. I'm gonna eat and drink with Jesus. I'm gonna eat and drink with Jesus one of these days, hallelujah. I'm gonna eat and drink with Jesus, gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Or should I say it this way? We are gonna sit at the welcome table. We are gonna sit at the welcome table one of these days. Hallelujah. We are gonna sit at the welcome table. Gonna sit at the welcome table. Sit at the welcome table. Sit at the welcome table one of these days. Maybe it's even now. I feel it is now. And I want to say thank you to all of you. Thank you. And you're welcome too, for this opportunity to preach. And I hope it has encouraged you. Not that you're not welcome enough, not that you haven't done enough. I mean, I think of this church involvement in the food shelf, and I just read something about the ambulance, the Hutchinson Fire Department going out, was it a couple of weeks ago? More than time, you do so much. So I want to say thank you again. Somebody said it. Okay, thank you. You're welcome. Let's continue on with our prayer hymn. Oh, Master, let me walk with you. It's 665. Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Teach me thy patience still with thee in closer, dear company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong. in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give, with thee, O Master, let me live. Diane keeps playing and we keep praying. The song is a prayer that we would walk with you in places maybe we never walked before. Maybe it's everyday trips around the house. We always need your help to walk in peace and love. And we pray, of course, with our words, our concerns. Oh gosh, some of it's just, wow, earthquake. Venezuela, 1,400 perished, can't find I don't know how many thousand. Sometimes all we can do is send money to special needs and support and to missions, to emergencies. Help us to do what we can to help others. We pray for those who are in hospital, a place being cared for. We think of Olive, and maybe confused, what am I doing here? Help me. We think of Pete Ackerman and how suddenly his life took a turn. Pray his back surgery will go okay. And of course, the list goes on and on. We thank you for our prayer team that prays daily for, mostly for other people, that they may be stronger in your love no matter what happens. That they may be on life's path of healing journey. Can't cover it all, but yet if we pray this prayer together that Jesus taught us, that's a lot to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We rise, we stand, and sing our doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host, Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We pray together, saying that we bring our offering, not with thoughts of reward, but because we are grateful. We give not from guilt over having so much, but because it is such a privilege and joy to share. We dedicate these gifts not to pay bills, but to enable a ministry that meets basic human needs with the good news of the gospel. May your people be empowered to give the service each moment requires, and even a deed as simple as giving a cup of cold water to quench another's thirst. Amen. We give thee but thine own. whatever the gifts may be, all that we have is yours alone. Our trust, O Lord, from thee. Isaiah the prophet says, whom shall I send? I send me. Take me. Use me. Here I am, Lord. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of light, I will make their darkness bright, who will bear my light to them, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. Lead me, I will hold thee, I will hold. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain, I have wept for love of them, they turn away. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them, whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I will hold your people in my heart. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will lead the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I will hold your people in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.